This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
South Africa's reading crisis, a generation at risk. Well, our country is facing what many education experts are calling a national reading crisis. Now, recent findings show that millions of children are struggling with basic literacy skills, raising concerns about their future education success, also employment prospects, and of course, the country's long-term economic growth. Now, studies have repeatedly shown that children who cannot read for meaning by the end of the foundation phase are far more likely to struggle throughout their schooling journey. Now, the latest reports suggest that the problem remains widespread despite years of interventions and policy commitments. Looking forward to finding out more about this issue with Mana Jordan. Mana is the national CEO of the Governing Body Foundation. Mana, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us on the Afternoon Brief.
Thank you, Michael. Nice being with you.
Great to have you on board, Mana. When we hear that millions of South African children are struggling with basic reading skills, let's take this from the top. What does that actually mean in practical terms? How serious is the situation overall? What are we looking at?
Well, it's very serious, Michael, because if you cannot read, you cannot learn. And if you cannot learn, you cannot progress academically or in any other way. So it's very important that the learners need to be able to read properly. And people make the mistake to often think that reading things properly is only focused on the languages that they take as subjects. However, that is not the case. Because if you cannot read, you cannot read what's asked from you in maths or science either. So, yeah, that's a huge problem.
Okay, so let's begin to delve a bit deeper into the subject. As I mentioned when I introduced the segment, we've had years of education reforms and literacy programs. So why then are so many children unable to read for meaning?
Michael, the problem is that children, and might I add, even adults nowadays are not reading. Let me rather put it that way. They're not reading. We are all glued to our television sets. We are glued to our cell phones. And the children are formed in WhatsApp language, in language that they use on the social media, but reading as such, unfortunately not so. And it is also so that one would have felt that by now, at the foundation phase, we would have shown lots more progress than we are currently showing. And that is a big worry. So the thing is, I'm very happy that the Department of Education has shifted a little bit with regards to their priorities. And they are now recognizing that it's not only the matric results that we should concern ourselves about, but that they realize that the foundation that you lay for the children are equally important, if I dare say, not more important.
No, Mana, we can bring the parental aspect into this too, but when we look at schools, how much time and attention is given to students to at least, develop reading skills in the classroom? In other words, take those phones away, take those fancy devices away, let them focus on printed material in front of them. How much of that is dedicated within the school system right now?
Not enough, Michael. I'm really not sure. I don't think there's enough. And you asked me in the previous question, reading is one thing. So maybe they can read. The problem comes when you want to advance academically, then you immediately need to be able to read with meaning. And so in the classroom, it is more of, and it will differ from subject to subject. It differs. And hence, then, it is very important that you teach the children how to read, but more than that, to read with meaning in order for them to can also give an opinion when they are asked, for example, or when they are going to do research further in life. They need to know what questions do you ask yourself and how do you answer it? We are way behind, far back in the history when we told the children, you list us 10 reasons why the Great Trek took place.
Right.
I mean, that's not what it's about anymore. Mm. It is about that you state things to them, and then you tell them, what do you learn from this? What do you take from this? They need to analyze. They need to do many things with the subject matter that is in front of them. And reading with meaning then plays a very important role.
You know, for that matter, well, what stage should the children ideally be reading for meaning? And what? Then, of course, looking at the consequences, what happens when they fall behind during those critical early years? What are the consequences then?
Yeah, look, Michael, I must say, I hear from about grade six roundabouts, but it's not so much there. But once they reach the high school, from grade eight, grade nine, it is expected from them a little bit more. And then it intensifies in the FET phase when they go from grade 10 to grade 12. And it is then there in that phase, in that FET phase, the further education and training band, that the children are caught, you know, unawares. And it is then that they begin to suffer because they don't have the skill to do it. And the thing is time. And here's our problem. Sometimes to me, I feel that we need to stop and think about whether there is enough time for educators in classes. Look, let's be honest with each other. So most of the schools, all the schools are not high functional schools, and they've got proper ratios between educator and learners in the class. I mean, you sit with schools that have got 40, 50 kids in one classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for one educator in, let's say a class period is 35 to 40 minutes, to reach that number of kids in that small time, it is actually ludicrous to think that you expect that from somebody. So education is going to suffer if you do not spend enough time. And so you see, this thing it's got more roots than only just the fact of they cannot read with meaning. It is often the educators, and sadly so, often in the the schools that are not so functional. And then it becomes a problem. So, I mean, this thing is something, and I'm really, really hoping that by shifting the focus now also to the foundation phase, and it seems as if the realization has now come to people that you need to, you don't fix this at the end of the road. You right. fix this in the beginning, when they're still in the starting blocks. And if you build it, it's like Lego. If you build it, it will become something that the kids will really advantage the children when they move forward in their schooling careers.
Mon, up till now, we have been chatting about the school environment. Let's look at an old adage, charity begins at home, for families where books may be scarce or budgets are tight. So let's now look at remedies to this. What are some simple ways to encourage a culture of reading and language development?
Well, look, I think we should actually, and we do need our parents here as well. We should go back to the good old days where mom or dad, for that matter, when they put the little one to take them to bed and put them to sleep, from a very small age, you can begin to let them page through the little books, and then you start reading to them. And then a little bit older, then you ask them to read the story to you. So we can really go back to the basics there. And we can set an example for our children that when we are in the house, the television shouldn't be on all the time, and you can't sit with your phone all the time, because, I mean, the kids don't even have the skill, Michael, of engaging in conversations with, let's say, their parents also. Because even mom and dad sometimes sit at the dinner table and they take out their phones. I mean, it is so sad to see. Mm. So in my mind, let's go back to the basics and get children interested in what you are reading to them, because as they grow older, obviously you need to read things that sort of draws their attention. They want to know more. About dinosaurs. Then you read them about dinosaurs.
Indeed, bringing back good old-fashioned ways, Mona. You can't substitute that at all. This is what you're imparting upon us. But now, we look at our country having 11 official languages. Many children learn in one language at home and another at school. So, yes, what obstacles are we looking at there in terms of how much does language play a role in literacy outcomes then?
Well, Michael, language is very important, and we might have all these languages. But I think this is where it comes in, that in from where I stand, mother tongue language is actually very important, because I think if you are, particularly in your first 3 years in the school, if you can be taught in the language that you are speaking at home, mm-hmm. it's going to make a huge difference in the children. Yes, we all agree there comes a point where you cannot continue with that, and that you need to then sort of expose the children to, I think the one that's mostly used is English. But the longer you can teach the children in the language that they are born in, if I can put it that way, they're born into that language, the better everything is going to be for them. But sadly, once again, I mean, we scarcely have enough educators to teach in English or even Afrikaans. What say do we have, and finding educators, trained educators to teach in all the different languages we've got in our country is almost impossible. So it's a thing that needs to, once again, I'm saying it, fix from the bottom upwards. And if we can get that, it will obviously work to the advantage of all the children in our country later on.
No, interesting you mentioned that, Marna, because another question coming through from one of our listeners actually links to that. The question reads, are teachers receiving enough training, support and resources to improve literacy outcomes in the foundation phase?
No, I'm sad to say I don't think so. But we must not lose hope. I think that seeing the signs from the department and the shift that is gradually taking place, you know, coming in with compulsory grade R and all those, it's all steps being taken to ultimately get to it where we can get the children to maybe be able to, you know, read properly and use the literacy, the level that we would all like to see for them. So all is not doom and gloom, but I think we must go back to the drawing board, and we must from there on in prepare the learners.
Indeed, if just to elaborate on that, Marna, as we conclude our conversation today, if you had the attention of every school principal, governing body member, parent and education policy maker, just for 1 minute, maybe just make it a couple of minutes, or what would be the single most important message you'd want them to hear about addressing this crisis? Maybe there's something you want to add to that.
Yeah, I think I would like to say to all the schools, when the school in landscape in South Africa changed in 1994, many schools closed. The first thing they closed down were their libraries. I think that was a huge mistake. I think we need to understand that if we do not expose our learners to the value of reading, and you can do so many things, even in high school, not only in the primary school, wherein you must get enthusiastic educators that drive. You can have a week, a reading week, for example, and you can have book clubs, and you can do so much. But it takes a bit of time, and then if all people who have got books and they don't want their books, donate those books to the schools and put books in your classroom and sort of tell the children, encourage them to take the book and go read it. And if you're a language educator, encourage them to read a book that they like and come to you and write a book report, not on what you gave them, but what they themselves chose. Because maybe if we get there, then it might change. We must get our children to love reading again. And then hopefully we will sort of in put into them this drive to want to read more and get to know more. And that might help us to turn the ship around.
Hopefully, yes, the old ways are the tried and trusted ways, Mana, as you have emphasized, and certainly it's been a pleasure having you on board the show this afternoon. Mana, thank you so much for joining us on the afternoon brief. Mana Jordan, National CEO of the Governing Body Foundation, helping us just to understand the scale of our reading crisis and why improving literacy is one of the most important investments we can make in our children's future. Reading is about far more than passing exams. It's the foundation of learning, of course, understanding what you are reading, the confidence in it, the participation in society. And the sooner, yes, we tackle this challenge, the better the future we create for the next generation and for our country and for its industrial and business starts.